Well, thankful for our little ones and thankful for our workers who love on them and teach them and help them to learn about the Lord. So, amen. And one of the sweet things about that in watching Zoe and Mercy running down the aisle holding hands is that we do life together. You know, God hadn't called us to do life apart. He called us to do life together. And so that's a joy and it's a privilege. And it's not always easy. Okay? But it's always a blessing. It's good. It's a gift from God. So thank God for your family and your church family. And we want to pray in a moment and pray especially for Billy Self. He's in the Paris hospital. He got pneumonia. So he needs prayer. And also praying for Tina, his wife. She's got a lot of health issues too. So we'll pray for Billy and Tina. And then also pray for Arbel and Irvin and David, Arbel's sons. And they've all three been in the hospital this week. They're all three home. But definitely need prayer. So any others of our church family that we need to lift up? Just mention quickly.
Charlotte.
Amen.
Dana.
Amen. Tom. Amen. All right, let's bow together. Father, we bow before You this morning and we thank You for Your presence here. Thank You for the sweet joy of dedicating these little ones to You. Lord, thank You for each family represented here today. Bless each one. And Father, we lift these up especially who have needs today. We pray for Billy and Tina. We ask You to place Your hand on them. We pray for healing. We just ask You to raise Billy up and strengthen him. And just encourage his heart today and just be with him. Lord, we thank You for them. Father, we pray for Miss Arbel and for David and Irvin. We just pray You'll bless that family and meet their needs. Lord, draw them near to Yourself and speak to their hearts. And Lord, just strengthen them physically and encourage them and meet their needs, we pray. We thank You for them. And Lord, we lift up the Charlotte. We pray You'll touch her today. We pray for Dana, Lord, that You'll bless her and strengthen her and help her to feel better. And Lord, we pray for Tom, that You'll touch Tom as well. And Lord, just give strength and take away pain. And just give him a good day. And Lord, we just give You praise and thank You. And Lord, as we turn our attention to Your Word, I pray You'll speak to our hearts through it. And just pray You bless the reading of Your Word and give us the ability to focus in, we pray. And we thank You so much for all You do. Lord, we love You. We praise You together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, one of the major prophets, the first of the major prophets, is Isaiah. And, you know, the first 39 chapters are a little bit tough because it's dealing with judgment, dealing with all these difficult issues that Israel was facing, and they were experiencing some very hard things. But chapter 40 is, it's like turning a corner. It's just like coming around the corner and suddenly the sun comes out and there's some joy and there's some light and life. And so we're going to look at a portion of this chapter today. I'd love to preach through the whole chapter, but I'm not sure you've got the stomach for it. I mean, your stomach may get to growling a little bit might take a little longer than it's going to be comfortable. So won't probably get through the whole thing, but we'll read a portion of it, and then we'll see how far we get. But chapter 40 of Isaiah, and if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts now through it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we want to just consider here this morning and think about a couple of thoughts from this passage. Now, first off, just notice the way that the chapter begins. There's a word of comfort here. Isaiah writes, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And you know what? There are moments when we need just some comfort. We need some encouragement. We need someone, and especially we need the Lord to just come to us, wrap his arms around us. And so notice verse 2. It says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Well, literally, when it says speak ye comfortably, it literally means speak to the heart. Speak to the heart. And you know, that's what the Lord does. He speaks right to the heart. And we come to church and I mean, you know, we're all dressed up in our Sunday finest and maybe, you know, just dress for cold weather today or something, whatever it is. But you know, we come with hair slicked back, Manuel, and we're ready. But oh, look, it isn't about this outward appearance. It isn't about clothing and hairstyles and jewelry and all this stuff. It's not about any of that. It's about the heart, and God speaks right to the heart. God doesn't, He's not so much concerned with your outward appearance. He's not so much concerned with all of that external stuff. What He's concerned with is here. He wants to know, where's your heart this morning? Because He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to direct His thought, His attention to your heart today. And honestly, this is what we need. We need the Spirit of God speaking directly to our hearts today. You know, we're beginning a brand new year, and it's awesome. That's great. But oh, look, we're going to have some challenges in 2018. Amen. We're going to have some good days. We're going to have some hard days. Most likely, if it's like any other year, we're going to have some things that we need the presence of God for. And well, we need Him every day. So ask God today to speak to your heart and to just help you to deal with the hurts, with the disappointments, with the struggles, with the defeats. Because here's the thing, you know, this passage describes our Lord as a shepherd. And one thing about a good shepherd is a good shepherd knows his flock. He knows his sheep. The Lord knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're facing. He understands where you're at. And He loves you.
Amen.
And so we need this element, this word of comfort and encouragement. But then notice the next part of this. And we see this quoted in the New Testament relating to John the Baptist. Okay, we read it earlier at the beginning of the service. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, we know John the Baptist came. He was preaching and preparing the way for Jesus. He was the forerunner. He was the one who came before. But he said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, the Messiah, when he comes. I'm not worthy to do anything like that. I'm just a messenger. I'm just the servant. You know what John said? John said, he must increase. I must decrease. You know, I don't know if you've got a verse for 2018, but there's one. It's in John 3. I can't remember the verse number. Some of you biblical scholars may be able to help me. But you know, I mean, he must increase. I must decrease. And the principle here is simply that I don't need more of me. I need more of Him. And I would suggest that that's true for us all. Well, prepare the way. You know, the Lord sent John to preach and prepare and get ready for the coming of Jesus. But guess what? Jesus is coming again. And you know, I think part of our job is to prepare the way. Now, you know, it says here that make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It says that every valley, every low place will be raised up, it will be exalted, and every mountain, every high place will be brought down. And he says the crooked will be made straight and the rough places plain. See, that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes into a man's heart, comes into a woman's heart. He makes the crooked straight. He straightens us out so that we can walk on the path. He gives us the ability to function in this world, in this life, and to deal with the things that the world throws at us. But folks, we're given a challenge as a body of Christ that we are a part of this work. We're not just receiving it, we become a part of it. And so our neighbors, our family, our school, our workplaces, you know, all these different areas where we are ought to be influenced by the presence of Jesus Christ in us. You know, God is present in all places. He's omnipresent. We use that word sometimes. He's present everywhere. But oh, listen, the Spirit of God indwells every believer. And so God wants to use you to begin to make those crooked things straight. It's about redemption. See, some people have an idea that God is all about judgment and punishment. And that day is coming. That's true. But in the meantime, the Bible says that God's patience is salvation. God is being patient so that people can come to know Him. And I want to suggest to you, I don't know how many people you've had an opportunity to share the gospel with in 2017. I don't know how many times you've had a chance to one-on-one look into somebody's eye and say, hey, there is a Savior in heaven, Jesus. He's the Son of God, and He died on a cross for your sins. He loves you, and He wants you to be saved. I hope you had that opportunity this year. I hope you had some times when you could talk to somebody like that. And I hope you even got to see somebody pray to receive Jesus this year. But no matter. You know, we're about to start a brand new year, a fresh year. There's fresh opportunity. There's a new beginning. And I want to encourage you. God's got some work for you. God didn't just save you and put you here in Branch Baptist Church so that you could, you know, light the place up and just be an ornament on His shelf here. Just beautify the place. I mean, as beautiful as y'all are. Amen, Tristan? Yeah, He's with me. He's with me.
Ain't no argue that.
But God didn't save you so that you could look pretty. And so you could, you know, God saved you to do some work. You got some work to do in this world. And I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but this world is in bad shape. It's in trouble. People are lost. And guess what? They're living and they're acting like they're lost. So we shouldn't be surprised with what people do, but it's disheartening and it's alarming. But folks, we've been given the answer. Did you hear David Platt a while ago on the end of the video, the president of the International Mission Board? He just said, you know, the risk is there. Yes, the risk is real. When you begin to serve God, you're going to risk. You can't serve God from this place of comfort and safety and not risk anything. When you begin to serve the Lord, you're going to put yourself out there a little bit. And somebody may take a swipe at you. Somebody may make fun of you. Somebody may take a swing at you. Somebody may look down on you. But the reward is worth the risk. I want to encourage you to ask God to make this year a year that is fruitful for you. Ask God to help you to be His servant this year in seeing young people come to Christ. James, wouldn't you like to see some young people come to Christ this year? We've seen some young people come to Christ this past year. It's been great. It's awesome. We've seen some children. We've seen some adults. It's been neat, but oh, listen. Dr. Gray Allison taught our personal evangelism class at seminary, and just a man of God. But he told the story to us seminary students and young preacher guys, you know, just wanting to learn. And he told us the story, and I've shared it many times, but let me give you one more time. It's from the Civil War. And there was an old Confederate soldier named Jeb. Fitting, isn't it? And I had a little skirmish one day with some Union troops. Had a little battle, and the Confederate unit got back together and they were counting heads, and Jeb was missing. He said, what happened to Jeb? I don't know. I saw him over here a while ago, but I don't know what happened. And so they had made their camp and established their outpost, and about dusk they heard somebody coming toward them, and the sentry challenged, and it was Jeb. But it wasn't just Jeb. It was Jeb had his gun on a bunch of Union soldiers. He captured them. And he brought them into the camp. And the other fellows was looking at him and going, Jeb, where'd you get all these? He said, fellas, the woods is full of them. You know what? The woods is full of lost folk today. Full. And you know the sad part? There's not too many Christian people out there just trying to get there ahead of you to tell them about Jesus. There's not enough. I mean, it'd be nice if we was having to, you know, every week we was having to, you know, try to beat the the Methodist and the Assembly and the other Baptist churches to somebody's door to tell them about Jesus. But honestly, it ain't happening. And in this community, now look, I can't answer for, you know, somewhere off, but in this community, we've been given a job to do. And may I just say to you, this is not a job for the pastor or the youth pastor. It's a job for the body of Christ to do together. So I want to encourage you this morning to take this thought that God is in the work of redeeming what is lost and what is broken and what is twisted up and bent out of shape and it's in terrible condition. And God loves to bring those kinds of people and save them and set them free. And I believe the Scripture says, but such were some of you. So, you know, I was looking at this Scripture. The grass withereth. Did you notice this? Verse 6. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. One of Susie's students this year brought her a daisy. I think it was a daisy in a little pot. And it had one little stem that bloomed out, and it was really pretty. And so we had it there. We kept it all summer. And then we brought it in and out, and in and out, and in and out when the cold weather started, you know. And then finally it stayed inside, but it wasn't doing too good. And we finally set it out for good. I know it's cruel. Hasn't done too well in this cold weather. Hasn't survived too well. But you know what? The Bible says you're a daisy. The Bible says you're like grass in the field. Y'all mowed your grass this week, I guess. No? It's pretty much dead, isn't it? Well, kind of glad for that. Oh, you still got some? Well, all flesh is grass. And I was just thinking about, because, you know, it's always interesting to see, you know, 2017, you've had a number of people who died. You know, and of course the world's all keyed in on all the celebrities and the movie stars and, you know, the people that, you know, and I was looking at some of those, Tom Petty and David Cassidy and Hugh Hefner, Jim Nabors and Charles Manson, Glenn Campbell and Mary Tyler Moore and Jerry Lewis and Don Williams and Tony Alamo, Frank Broyles, Mel Tillis. You know, you can just go on and on. And then we've got people that we know in our family or our circle of friends who've passed on this year. And it's a real thing. And the Bible just tells us that our lives they're short. I mean, when I was 8-10 years old, I just thought, man, you know, this church service lasts forever. And I thought I'd never get to the place of being 16 years old and getting my driver's license. Thought I'd never get to be 18 and graduate from high school. Thought I'd never get out of college. Thought I'd never get married. Thought I'd never have a baby. Thought I'd never do all these things. And suddenly, been there, done that. And it's amazing how quickly it comes and how quickly it goes. You saw these little ones up here in their mama's and daddy's arms a moment ago. Won't be long. And they won't need you to cut their pancakes. And they won't need you to tie their shoes. And they won't need you to do all those little things that you do and you kind of, you know, groan and gripe about sometimes as you're doing some of that. But yet when you don't have to do it anymore, you miss it. I want to encourage you, life is short. Now, it's good. But life just has a way of just moving. It just moves. It's like that river, you know. It just keeps moving along. It carries us with it. And before we know it, we're looking back. Well, I want to tell you, all flesh is grass. And there's one distinction, one contradistinction here, if you will, that's made. Notice what verse 8 says. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so this is the thing that I want to encourage you with today, is that God's word is eternal. God's word doesn't change. And so if you haven't picked up a copy of the Bible reading plan yet, I hope you grab one of these. And it's set up with a reading plan here. It's got some suggestions in it. And then January 1, Luke chapter 1, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and Proverbs 1. And however you go about it, however you do it, that's fine. But do it. Find what works for you. Find a time, find a place, and set it apart and begin to do it. And get the Word of God into your heart and mind, because the Word of God doesn't change. The Word of God lasts. The Word of God is eternal. And you need it. And young people and children, your parents can't do this for you. And they can do a lot of things for you, but you know, there comes a point, and adults too, when we've got to stand up and say, you know, I need this. And so I want to encourage you to get into the Word this year and just begin to see. Now, one final thought here and we're done. Notice verse 11. We'll close with this. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You know, Jesus in John chapter 10 said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He leads his flock out. He knows them by name and he calls them out. And the Bible says that they know him and they follow him. But just look at the way this describes this. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He will gently lead those who are about to have little ones. You know, there's just this picture of God here that is very tender and very gentle. And I see the stories every week about little babies that are abused and killed. And it absolutely blows my mind. I can't conceive of what is in the hearts and minds of people to do such things. But the heart of God is for these little ones. And just as you saw these parents up here, and I mean they are, you know, invested in these little ones. They are loving up on them. They are, you know, all in. And if you think they're not, you just, you know, try to go grab one of those babies. I mean, I think Gabe and Ben will take you out. But that's the heart of God. Not just for little ones. But that's His heart for you. He loves you with that kind of a heart, that kind of tenderness. And sometimes we feel like we're about this tall, spiritually speaking. And sometimes, you know, there's a reason we feel pretty small. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you like these moms and dads love these little precious babies. That's how God loves you. That's how He approaches you and sees you. And so I want to encourage you just to take that thought that Here is the love of God, and it is so awesome. It's so amazing. It's so wonderful. I want to invite you this morning just to receive that. Let's just bow our heads. And in this moment, what I want to ask you to do is, would you, in this moment, would you just pray? And I don't mean the standard prayer that you always pray. I mean, would you just stop this moment and just say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking me in your arms. Thank you for being concerned about me. Just take a moment. And the Bible tells us that we're able to come to God, and we're able even to call Him our Abba, our Dad. Would you go to Him this morning? Just thank Him for loving you like that. Could be today that you're here and you have never received Christ as your Savior and your Lord. I want to invite you this morning, if that's you, would you open your heart to Jesus today? Would you trust Him? It all begins right there. It all begins at the point when you say, Lord, I need you. I'm lost without you, and I want to be saved. So if that's you today, would you just pray? You can pray a prayer in your heart, something like this. Say, Dear Lord, if you're lost and you want to be saved, pray this with all your heart. Pray it. Dear Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me. And I believe He paid the price for my sins. And so today, Lord, come into my life. Save me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. I'm trusting in You. And I receive You, Jesus. Tell Him from your heart. Just tell Him. Not certain words you say, but it's the cry of your heart. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to invite you not just to believe in your heart, but also to confess with your mouth, to tell others and let them know. And you can come and grab me after service and tell me about what you just did. That'd be great. You can come in the quietness of this moment. I'm going to give a moment. We're going to have just a moment to wait. You can come right now and tell me and share that decision. Father, I thank You for every person in the room. And Lord, I just pray You'd gather us together this morning as Scripture says, that You just hold those little lambs in Your arms. And God, we each one need that, whether we admit it or not. And I just pray that You'd come to us today and minister to our hearts and our souls. And Father, I pray that there's even one who opened their heart to You today and trusted You to save them. Lord, would You give them grace and courage to stand up and to confess You before others, to let others know. And so I thank You for this.